You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A man in head-on collision lives to tell about it.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life. Martin Luther once said, "A person who entertains no doubt whatever that everything depends on the will of God, utterly despairs of his own effort, and does not do any choosing, but expects God to work in him." As we turn to God in prayer, let us say, "Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy name. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen." A guide, who by the grace of God had been converted to Jesus, was once asked by a hunter how his conversion had come about. The guide answered that he was unable to tell him in exact words, but that he was willing to show him. The guide gathered a number of sticks, laid them on the ground in a circle, took a worm and placed it in the midst of the circle, and then sent the wood on fire. As soon as the worm began to feel the heat of the fire, it crawled to this and then to that side of the circle, trying to find a way of escape. Observing that all of its efforts were in vain, it returned to the center of the circle and stretched itself out to die. In that moment, the guide put forth his hand, seized the worm, and lifted it into safety. Thus replied the guide to the hunter, "It was with my conversion. When all around me I beheld nothing but the flame of God's wrath, I tried to save myself, but all my efforts were useless and brought me no peace. Then the Lord Jesus caught me with his merciful hand and rescued me." This is what happened to Saul. Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and begged him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he could find there any followers of the way, whether men or women, he could bring them back to Jerusalem as prisoners. But on his journey, as he neared Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly blazed around him and he fell to the ground. Then he heard a voice speaking to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," was the reply. "But now stand up and go into the city, and there you will be told what you must do." His companions on the journey stood there speechless, for they had heard the voice, but could see no one. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. There he remained sightless for 3 days, and during that time he had nothing either to eat or drink. St. Paul struggled with the fires of God's wrath in his life. He crawled in the direction of proving that he was better than his colleagues. God would have to accept him in his life because of his dedication to the church fathers and his efforts for the church. Paul got burned on that kind of thinking. The soul that sins, it shall die. No matter how much he worked for the perfect way of life, it still fell short of God's perfection. Paul wiggled around in the circle of God's wrath by striving to be perfect. But today, we try to avoid God's wrath by saying, I don't see God in his wrath. God may be somewhere, but he is not in the marketplace of life. God doesn't exist in the sweat and tears of the race for the almighty dollar. God is divorced from daily existence. You and I have covered our eyes from God and failed to see him. Friend, we have been brainwashed into thinking that we can argue God out of our lives. We hear, look at the hungry millions, the dying, the sick, the decay of government and home. Can we see God working? If we don't think about God, therefore, God doesn't exist. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, says God's word. The circle of God's wrath still burns brightly in spite of our intellectual approach to escaping it. Have you looked at your schedule of activities for this week? What a novel way to escape the circle of God's wrath. Be a busy little bee. Go from one activity to another. Go from project to project. Try to run away from God by hiding in frantic activity day after day. Your soul will be required of you. God's circle of wrath still burns. Have you squirmed and tried to avoid the circle of God's wrath by use of a bottle or drugs? Today, the way of escape from reality is through the use of drugs or strong drink, causing many people, especially teenagers, to lose control of their lives and destroy an otherwise productive future. Our world is on a let's play house approach to escaping the reality of God's wrath. The latest in fashionable living is open and brazen use of sex to cover over the fear of tomorrow and the wrath of a righteous and holy God. We are told, why worry about tomorrow? God doesn't live on this planet. The worm can crawl into a hole, but the fire can burn over it and suffocate it. Even today, we are hearing people say, what is happening to our world? There is no escaping the judgment of God. If you want to destroy yourself with the pleasures of this life, God will give you over to your own destruction. But God does not want to see his world go down in flames. He wants all men to live. He wants you and me to live. God wanted Saul to live too. Just outside the wall of the oldest city in the world, God did the oldest thing in the world. He converted a man. When Saul fell from his horse and groveled in the dust, he met Jesus Christ face to face. God, through Christ, picked this worm from his own hellfire and gave him life. It was God who saw in Saul a Paul. It was God who molded and shaped this man and made him the greatest missionary of all times to the Gentile world, a man unafraid of life and even of death. St. Paul even changed his name when Christ took control of his life. You expect people who enter your house to use the door you have provided for them. If anyone attempts to climb in at a window, you immediately suspect his motive. You conclude that he has come to take what is yours. Some come to take what is God's, the glory of working out a complete salvation for man. Friend, you and I cannot work out our own salvation. You and I cannot make it right with God. God must step into our lives. God provides the way. God provides the means. God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, makes you and me his friends. Our conversion, our return to God, is not in our attempting to reform our lives or to arouse some kind of religious feeling in ourselves. Our return to God is effected in the moment when, in our despair from our sin, we accept the free gift of forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ. God has done it all. As God reached down from heaven to reveal his Son, Jesus Christ, to St. Paul, so he reveals his Son to you and to me in his good news. Listen to that good news. When we were his enemies, through Christ he made us his friends and gave us the work of making friends of enemies. Come and be God's friends. God made Jesus Christ suffer for our sins so that we might be free of our sins and our guilt. Accept Jesus as your friend and not an enemy to your life and destiny. Paul knew that Jesus Christ had died. He pursued and jailed the Christians because he felt that they were proclaiming a dead Savior. He had heard how Christ had been taken to a hill called Calvary and was nailed to a wooden cross. The official report of the government and church stated that Jesus Christ had truly died. Only when Christ appeared to Paul did he trust and believe that Jesus Christ was truly a living Savior. When Paul accepted a living Christ, then his relationship to God was filled with love and forgiveness. Christ Jesus took control of his life and his destiny. With boldness, Paul said, "I live with Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." St. Paul did not hesitate to acknowledge his own sinful life. He needed the grace of God as much as you and I. He did not paint a pretty picture of his life before God. He called himself the chief of sinners, but Jesus Christ made him a forgiven man before God. Paul preached and believed that all men had sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in the very next breath, St. Paul offered hope. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Recently, I sat with a young man who was uncertain about his relationship to his God. As we talked, I shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that God loved him and that God forgave him through Christ's suffering and death on the cross. He said, "It's too easy, too simple." He wanted to do something to make it right with God. There is nothing that any one of us can do to make it right with God. Nothing. No works, no money, no sacrifices. Nothing on your part brings about your salvation. The young man was willing to pay any price to have his burden lifted from his life. He wanted to share in a big way the building of a relationship with God and himself. The burden of his guilt and sin did not seem as large as the burden the young man felt he had to carry if God would forgive him freely without any worth or merit on the young man's part. So easy. So simple. God's plan of salvation takes away from us our pride, our haughtiness, our conceit, and our false value of power, and asks us to be like believing children with their Father. God says, "Trust me. Your soul filled with sin and self has no room for God. Like the little inn of Bethlehem filled with lowly guests did not have a place for the Christ to be born in." If your life has been on a collision course into the very fires of hell, God in his love wants to reach down and touch your life. In Christ, God wants to remove the ignorance and hatred between himself and you. Once Saul understood the hand of God reaching into his life and pulling him from his own hellfire, only then could he begin to bring peace and love to others. Today, when you knock on wood, be reminded of the old practice of the early Christians who touched wood on every occasion of good fortune to show their gratitude to Christ for dying on a wooden cross, to save them from themselves and their destruction. Let God reach down and touch your life today. Don't wait. Pray for Jesus Christ to pick you up in His merciful hand and rescue you. Amen.